Elizabeth Elliot says, "There's a difference between a terrible, no good, very bad day and a peaceful and happy one. I think it does not depend nearly so much on what happens as it depends on your attitude and your response." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you face your day with a godly attitude. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
Three things about what it means to choose your attitude. First of all is the cost. It is going to cost you something. Giving up your right to yourself is a painful price that we have to pay. And think of the cost for Jesus to come into this world as a human being. Have you ever thought about that baby who was the redeemer of the world in a woman's womb? Have you thought about that? I have to confess, I never thought a whole lot about that until I read a most amazing book about it. And I've been thinking about it ever since. Talk about humiliation and downsizing. That's a word we hear, isn't it, in the business world. They're always downsizing. I just learned last week that my niece, who was very high up in Apple Computers Company, she has been downsized to the point that she's completely out of a job. But Jesus became an embryo. Now, I can imagine that 90% of you are sitting there saying, "What's she talking about? You know, the Bible doesn't say anything about Jesus being an embryo." No, it doesn't. But the Bible tells us that our Savior came into the world in exactly the same way that every other child that's ever been born has come into the world, with the exception of the manner of conception. And we know that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost overshadowed a woman who had a woman's body and who was qualified to produce a human baby. And it was Mary's blood and Mary's flesh that was given to this baby. Think of the Lord of the universe, whose hands made the stars, the one who lives in unapproachable light, the one who created all the worlds. Did any of you see that Time magazine a few weeks ago showing that column of smoke, looked like column of smoke or cloud, a picture taken by the Hubble telescope? And you can look at that picture of this sort of a brown column that fit on one page of the magazine, but the caption tells us that that column was 6 trillion miles high. Can you comprehend that? When you get to 5.5, are you lost? I mean, 6 trillion miles high. And then I was just reading in another magazine yesterday about something else to do with the starry heavens that had to do with something like 20 trillion miles. And these are all things that astronomers know. I mean, they can prove this. They're not speculating. The Hubble telescope is out there taking pictures that could never have been seen before. And it's been up there for years and has been sending back all this unbelievable stuff. But we are told that God is the Most High, higher than the highest heaven. And he became a tiny, helpless infant. It is going to cost you something to be willing to choose your attitude when everything in you cries out against it. Jesus not only became a baby, but he became a little child. And I love that hymn, "Once in Royal David's City," that beautiful Christmas song. "For he is our childhood's pattern. Day by day, like us, he grew. He was little, weak, and helpless. Tears and smiles, like us, he knew." That's our Savior. When he was a man, he became tired. He needed food. He slept. He sat down weary by the well. Again, the Lord of the universe, tired. His feet were tired of walking on those stony roads. He had to get away from the crowds at times because he needed rest. He needed peace and quiet. He allowed others to do things for him. Mary and Martha and Lazarus must have been great blessings in his life because theirs was a peaceful home where he was always welcomed, and he allowed them to do things for him. And then someone else pointed out that he did not refuse the executioner's wine when he was on the cross. He needed other people to minister to him. When the cross became so heavy that he couldn't carry it, Simon the Cyrene was forced to carry his cross for him. Incidents of his helplessness. Think of all those things and then readjust your own attitude toward your place on this planet and what God has you here for and what he wants you to do. Choose your attitude. I was absolutely riveted by a book by Viktor Frankl, very famous Viennese psychiatrist. I don't have much use for psychiatry, generally speaking, but this man wrote a book about his experience in Nazi concentration camp. And he suffered through that and was able to write about it. And his book is called Man's Search for the Meaning of Life. And the thesis of that book is that man can be deprived of every freedom with one exception. And that is, he may never be deprived of the freedom to choose his attitude. And a whole book describes the ways in which he learned to choose his own attitude and other people taught him. He said they received one piece of bread per week. They got watery soup all the other days, but on one day of the week, they got soup and bread. And he said there were always the few people in the concentration camp who would walk around with that piece of bread to try to find somebody else who needed it worse than they did. People who chose their attitude instead of wolfing it down as they were tempted to do. Man can be deprived of every freedom except the freedom to choose his own attitude. It is possible to choose your attitude. It just so happens that my husband and I and my daughter Valerie and her husband and her oldest son were in Ecuador just a couple of weeks ago. We went down to visit the Auca Indians. And I just had a letter from Walter III, my oldest grandson. He's 18 years old, and he's spending 6 months in Peru with Jim Elliott's older brother, Bert, who has been a missionary there for 45 years. And Walter described his trip back to Peru. He took a bus from Quito, Ecuador, down to Trujillo, Peru, and wrote Lars and me a long letter describing his trip back. And he told me in the letter that he had heard a little talk that I had given there in Quito on this subject, choose your attitude. And he said, I kept thinking about that. There were a lot of things that happened on that trip that he didn't like. So he said, I was just telling myself, choose your attitude. It is going to cost you something. I read you the passage in Philippians 2, but I didn't read the first few verses. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. So here's Paul telling these people, if you can possibly conjure up any thought of having encouragement from Christ, comfort from his love, fellowship with the Spirit, tenderness and compassion, make my joy complete by being like-minded. Choose your attitude. Having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. But I don't feel one in spirit and purpose with everybody in my church, that awful woman on the committee. I mean, how did we get her? What's she doing there? She just makes everything difficult for everybody. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. In humility, choose your attitude. Consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then verse 5 again, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And when you feel like saying, am I supposed to be a doormat? Is that what you're saying, Elizabeth Elliot? You're always talking about submission. You know, what am I supposed to be? Just a doormat with my husband as if I don't have any brains, I can't make up my own mind about anything? And of course, you're looking at a woman who can never make up her mind about anything. I have no opinions, right? Do you get that impression? I need my husband to tell me what to do every second of the day. No. I'm not worried about being a doormat. What I am called to be is nothing. Jesus made himself nothing. That's less than a doormat, isn't it? That's less than a doormat.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.